Hello, and welcome to the first episode of the Keeping Her Keys podcast for 2024. How fortunate we are to find ourselves at the start of a new year. The spirit of beginning again is one that is oh so dear to me. Even if you're dealing with a lot, you are here, and that's what matters. You are here, we are together, and we're turning the wheel to this new year. This time of the year for me focuses on doing a devotional cycle, a month-long cycle of devotion to Hecate every day. Well, devotion to my spiritual journey. It can take many different forms. As part of crafting my spell of the year. This is a big project that takes a couple of months from start to finish. And if you want to learn more about the spell of the year, you can become a student in the Hecate's Keys program in Covina. For the first episode, I have recorded a meditation and my thoughts on living and creating your most magical life and being authentically you. I feel that for me, at least, this journey of being who I am on the inside, on the outside, in ways great and small, loud and quiet, has absolutely been the source of my most profound healing. I hope that as you journey through 2024, you find ways to craft your magical life and that you can be authentically you. Hello and welcome. I'm going to be talking about something that's so important to me, and it's actually one of my big secrets for how I've created the magical life that I live. And that is exactly what I'm here to discuss, is creating your own magical life and being authentically you. If you have a candle handy, let's light it together. And let's release all that is interfering with living a magical, authentic life full of abundance as we define it. And let's cast the circle around, pulling towards us all that which will aid us in living our magical, authentic life and protecting us from any forces that might block our way. Hail and welcome to the spirit of living a magical life and the power of being authentically you. Let's begin with a simple exercise that will help to bring right alignment with purpose, because I believe, and I know it to be true, that we all have a purpose in life. This purpose can become interfered with by all manner of things. But yet, it is a spark that is so deep inside of us that when we enter into intentional work, it fans the flame, no matter how dim it is, until the flame burns brighter and we can do a bit of what's known as fire scrying and look into the flame and we see what it is we have put into this incarnation to accomplish, big and small. To me, a magical life is living in right alignment with that soul purpose. So let's work on that simple exercise. And the exercise, I want you just to close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to see deep within your sitting bones. A center of intuition, emotions, and so on. We'll call this the root. This is our root. Now, allow that root to soften. Sometimes our root can be like a mass of tightly held roots that it just like a ball of string, it's very tight. So let's just try to breathe into it and open that root. And as we open that root, it starts to pulse and thrum, and it naturally extends down towards the earth, rooting us, tethering us, grounding us. And as we are rooted, we start to release what is not meant for us to carry. And we start to pull in all that beautiful nourishment that comes from Mother Earth. Now let's turn our attention to our heart, which, of course, is the crossroads between what is inside of us and all of the external, our actions, relationships, so on. This is the heart, right? It is the heart. And I want you to breathe into your heart. And I'll ask you to do something with your hands because I think using your hands here is quite helpful. As you breathe into your heart and you let it go, you feel the softening in the front and the strengthening of the spine. Openness, stability. Now, this time, as you breathe in, bring your hands around your heart. And as you exhale, I want you just to consider the energy of pushing out all that doesn't serve to create space for all that which nourishes you, that helps you with your magical life. Let's do that again. So just you breathe in, and on the out breath, you simultaneously push away what is not true for you, and you create space to welcome in all that which is. The final component, or key, if you like, of the meditation is to align and activate the crown. So the crown, of course, travels up, begins with our regular mind, and then goes higher and higher until we become our unborn self, our truest self, the soul. We want to clear that path for the crown so that we can see what is deeper and get all of this mundane business, things, traumas, experiences that are blocking the higher vision. We want to let them go. So let's just, and you may even envision here that you wear a crown and that it connects you to what is higher and purer and more true wisdom and such. And now feel the flow and the combination between the wisdom, the openness and connection, and the rootedness, emotion, intuition to stay in this place. And in this place that you have created of awareness and alignment,
Ask the question, what is my magical life? What is my soul purpose? What am I being called to do? Now, you might get an answer right away. Nothing might come through right now. Don't fuss about it. Any images, words, and so on that come through, you might want to take a minute just to jot them down. For me, so many years ago, I made a commitment to living a magical life, to showing up in my own life, to making decisions, sometimes very, very difficult with consequences, sometimes very easy with benefits. I made that decision and intentionally, bit by bit, over years, crafted my magical life. So let's begin with an invocation now that we've completed our meditation. So if you are looking for a resource to help you live your magical life, my first book, True Magic, is full of exercises and what I consider to be the seven keys for cultivating your magical life. So I'm going to read the opening poem from that book as our invocation, and perhaps it will stir something within you, to awaken you to your magical life and start you on this journey. I am fire that burns, air that breathes, water that pours, earth that grounds, and spirit that soars. I am feelings, actions, thoughts. I am the watery depths of the underworld, the starry heights of the upper world, and all points in between. I am eternal, strong and wise, powerful beyond measure, sovereign, free and true. Which I am. Bit of a play on words there, which in the book and when I think of it is spelled WITCH, but of course, which I am spelled the other way, which is a very would have been a very appropriate way to end that poem as well. I also want to talk about another word, which is magic. For me, whenever I consider a magical life, it has a dual spelling. It has the spelling, you know, that we all know that we were all taught, where there is no K in it. And to me, a magic that aspect of a magical life is speaking about that right alignment. Whatever that is, it is being in the flow of what is meant for us. It is being connected to something deeper and more powerful than us, however you define it. And then magic, when we insert the K between the C and the A, goes beyond this sense of being dialed into what the universe, or whatever you want to call what is deeper and greater, what the universe wills for us. And the deeper world of dreams and so on goes beyond that to the practice of natural magic with a K. For me, living a magical life includes the practice of natural magic, and for me, also identifying as a witch. Now, to be clear, being a witch is part of who I am. It definitely colors all aspects of my life, but my life is a rich tapestry of identities and interests and skills. It's not the totality of who I am is not a witch. Like, I am much greater than my witchiness, but it is a very central part of who I am. A key to my sole purpose in this life is being a witch. And not a witch who would ever do anything malevolent, although I like to reclaim myths where women were portrayed as malevolent and see it from a different perspective. I do that, a lot of reclaiming. But as a witch who is fundamentally devoted to healing, and that is both self-healing with the aid of spirits and so on, and of course, for me, Hecate and other goddesses, and healing others in ways that are nourishing to them. It's not about having power over anybody else. It's about finding a way to empower myself and to share that with others and to help others find power. I do believe that the fundamental issue that we are facing in this very troubled world of ours is the vast dichotomy between the most powerful people in society and those who are completely disempowered. We need to narrow that spread, and it begins with us. And for me, that has meant living a magical life and doing the work that I did. Now, how you go about constructing your own magical life is unique to you. In this book, and really all of my work, is dedicated to providing you with some scaffolding for doing that. But ultimately, this is your quest, this is your journey. I'm not here to dictate anything to you. Practices I teach, like the meditation we just did, I know they are immensely helpful. Not only have they helped me and they are part of my daily practice, but I have been witness to hundreds, if not thousands, of others who these practices have benefited. So I'm not just blowing smoke here. I will forever be a researcher, and anything I share is something that has been validated by others, not just me. I don't just sit at the typewriter and make up rituals and meditations like, well, far too many do. Do what is right and true for you. And this is not necessarily going to be the easiest thing you've ever taken. Indeed, I think this is the great work of our lives. So it's not designed to be easy. We live in a world that tries to commercialize and commodify everything, where you buy this one thing and then all your dreams come true. I'm here to tell you that that can be helpful in the short term, or even as a bridge to get you on your way to crafting your own magical life. But those things will not ultimately do this for you. You are the one who is the architect of your own life. And for those of us who have had significant trauma, with leading to, of course, attachment issues, trust issues, and the whole plethora of things that can be consequences of trauma and invalidation, so on, bad choices. I've certainly made bad choices. It can be difficult for us to find a way forward, and yet it is possible. How you do this is to begin. You can begin with that meditation every day. You can begin with pulling a couple of cards every day, by lighting a candle and connecting to it every day, by going for a walk, doing yoga, whatever it is that speaks true for you, find time to cultivate a daily practice. I will tell you 100%, without reservation and with a great deal of enthusiasm, that a daily practice is absolutely the key to a magical life. If we do not engage in some kind of spiritual practice every day, a reflective, contemplative, maybe a bit of magic, maybe a meditation, if we do not prioritize this, and it doesn't need to be elaborate, we can lay in bed and do it first thing in the morning or last thing at night, or, you know, you can make it into an elaborate thing. What I do morning and night. I like the pre-dawn time, and that's when I do my biggest practice, but then I do a little practice at night too. Fine, if you do not prioritize your spirituality, your magical practice, you will not create a magical life. You can buy all the trinkets and courses and everything else and my books, and if you don't make the daily practice a priority, you won't get anywhere. That is the number one thing I know. And I don't want anyone to feel disempowered. I know what it's like. I have stepped off the path from the daily practice before in my life many a times. And I'm here to say that you can get back. Don't beat yourself up. Just be like, yeah, I fell off and stopped doing it. And I'm going to do it again. What I got is 5 minutes. What I got is 10 minutes. I got 15 minutes before everyone else gets up, and I've got 10 minutes when I'm crawling into bed at night. Whatever it is, you make your soul purpose in life, S-O-U-L, a priority, and it will be nourished. I know that's real talk, especially in a world where we are so bombarded with this quick fix or that quick fix. It starts and ends with us. And, you know, I am well known for teaching about Hecate and witchcraft that is rooted in psychology, personal development, that it is not a surface situation. And I love it when people engage with my books and my courses. It nourishes me and inspires me. It's of great value. Y'all matter to me. Ultimately, though, my wish for you is that you find your magical life and your spirituality, however that feels right for you. Because that's where we find the healing. I want to just talk a little bit. I know I mentioned abundance earlier as being kind of a funny word that people can, that can cause a reaction in us, right? So I'm going to read this from the beginning of the abundance chapter in True Magic. What is an abundance? To me, it's a magical life where the true self shines and the shadow is healing. Days filled with wonder and witchery. A content home where I can simply be. People around me who really get me. Being able to support others on their journey and travel. I need to roam. It's having what I need to get by, a truck, a broom, and waterproof boots. That's about it. Oh, and books. I need lots of those. Chocolate. Definitely chocolate. Finally, my magical life includes a healthy lifestyle of mind, spirit, and body. I need the material resources, so all these things are sustained in the long run. So financial stability is huge. If I've got all that, I'm good. What does your magical life look like? And I know money and finances is a taboo subject, but if you are working on your magical life, you're going to need resources to support it. And money is part of that. So we need to unbind the taboo around money and, you know, be more honest about talking about money.
Money isn't evil. Money is necessary. Do I wish we lived in a world where it was different? Yes. But I also know in having a tools, many tools that come from a system that perhaps I don't approve of, but to be able to reclaim and repurpose those tools to serve my higher purpose, there is value in that. And I believe ultimately that is how we shall change the world once and for all. So meditate, ask yourself the question, ask yourself what you are willing to commit to. Are you in a place in your life right now where you can commit to manifesting your magical life? Maybe you're too busy. Got too many people to take care of, too many responsibilities, and so on. Maybe your work on your magical life now is to plan for the time that you will have time to work on it. That it was a huge thing for me. I mean, I couldn't go off and shirk all of my responsibilities, but I could cultivate a future where I had time to live a magical life. You can do an exercise, which I think is really helpful, which is the ideal day exercise. Spend some time exploring what your ideal day would look like. Now, I used to do this on the daily before I went to bed. Of course, this creating this kind of energy is so important. But at first, when I got started with this, I didn't really know what my ideal day looked like. And so it was really difficult for me to even begin, but I stuck with it day after day after day, month after month, imagining it, refining it, mapping it, my journal, writing about it. And once I knew what that ideal day looked like, well, that's the key to the magical life. Because we can get trapped up, like, I want to be this. I want to be an author. I used to go to the bookstores and say, someday my books will be here. That's wonderful. However, if I didn't develop a plan to have the time to write the books, they would have never got there. And I want to just conclude all of this with talking a little bit about specificity and creating micro magics and goals. I don't really like the word goals. I so sh certainly don't like the word outcomes, but what I am moving towards. Being specific, today I will do this. And this can be part of your daily spiritual practice, right? Because there's no separation. If we are working, maybe it's a list we're doing today, that can be a spiritual practice. Whatever is moving us towards what feels right and true and authentic for us is spiritual. Doesn't need like it may it doesn't need to be a specific verse or incantation or prayer or something that you recite every day, but it can be if that's what works for you. Having something small, today I will do this. And at the end of the day, saying, today I did that. I woke up. I set the intention to do this and I did it. Whatever that is for you. That's another, like, that is so secret to me, is just setting intentions that are small and specific, not vast and huge, but those little steps along the road that lead towards that ideal day. Which, of course, is a slice of the magical life.
I want to leave us with a few quotes that have been most inspiring to me over the years. This one is often attributed to the great Brené Brown, but I'm not sure if she actually was the first person that said it. It is okay to live a life other people don't understand. I want you to take that in. It is okay to live a life other people don't understand. If you are doing that in a way that is not harmful to yourself or others, if it is right and true for you, and relatively safe, it's okay to be the village witch. I live in a village where I'm the village witch. A lot of my neighbors think I'm a weirdo. They're not going to hurt me. They just think I'm kind of weird. So there has to be that element too. This one, I'm paraphrasing Katharine Hepburn. Do what feels right for you. At the end of the day, at least one person will be happy. And I w this is a quote. I'm gonna this is a kind of a this is a quote. I'm just gonna read the thing. Live your truth, consequences be damned, which comes from the amazing life coach and author Martha Back. I read that at least 15 years ago, back when I used to subscribe. I know I subscribed to Oprah's magazine. So many thoughts about Oprah. But anyway, way back in the day, I subscribed to Oprah's magazine. Martha wrote a column in Oprah's magazine. And I read that in it. She wrote an editorial column. And I read that quote and I thought, that is outlandish. I have these kids. I have this house. I have this career. I can't live my truth. Consequences be damned. That's outrageous. But it was like those words became tattooed on my inside, and I could not ever let that go. And I am here to say that I fully understand. I think I fully understand what she meant is that we think there will be all of these consequences. And indeed, sometimes there are consequences. It's a thing that can happen. But there will also be a lot of benefits. And, in that editorial, Martha was advocating, for taking some risk. Whatever you are called to do, if it requires great change in your life, if when you peer into the Kairos, and you see what your magical life is, and you see that ideal day, and you know that getting there is going to be risky and rocky. Go gently, but go towards it in ways great and small. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. Let's get started, right? Living a magical life. If you enjoy this podcast, make sure to like it, follow it, give it a rating if you're so inclined. If you feel drawn to go deeper into the experience of Hecate and modern witchcraft, you can purchase my books, join Covina, which is the online coven of Hecate. Check out the website, there's lots there. And hail Hecate.